Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome everyone to The Film Vault. That is Andrew, and I'm Brian Bishop, your host. For today, kind of we're gonna do a little pre-fliction on Weird, the Yankovic movie.
Oh man, really?
You are.
You didn't get to it?
I got a story about that.
Oh,
Jennifer's body,
son of a
which
bitch.
Was assigned to it. All assignments. And Ikiru was assigned to us as well. We'll talk about that. First thing first, how are you, Ben?
I'm good, man. I was really excited to talk to you about Weird, but I guess we're pushing
I know.
That. It's a movie that shed so much light on somebody who I thought I had a good idea about, but I did not, evidently. Uh-huh. I thought I knew who Weird Al was, what he was about, where he came from, and how he became Weird Al. Please take care of your dog, please! We have been here for 45 minutes setting up and discussing the schedule, and as soon as we begin recording, I love your dog, but what in the actual fuck? Can you tell me? Do you have any kind of theories on this?
Someone probably walked past the door.
We can see through the window. There's walking through the
really
door.
They really can, too. I don't see anybody.
All right. So, yeah, anyways, I'm very excited to talk about Weird. I will give it a little pre-fliction. I'll give it a little mini a heads up for y'all if you have not taken the leap. If you're not even aware of it, it's the Weird Al Yankovic story. It's weird.
Can I tell you a story?
I would love to hear a story.
About not seeing the movie? It ends with me not seeing the movie.
I can't even be mad at you because, the same thing happened to me a couple weeks ago with the old Amsterdam over there.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah. Didn't you bail out of the theater or something like that?
I know. My car got broken into when I was about to go, and I had been violated, and I was sitting in the car, and everything was tossed all over the place. And I'm like, yeah. I went to the theater, and I'm just like, I just feel violated. And by the time I got there, I had to, call the cops, and it was late, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this.
I also had a act of God, a force majeure. Did not involve crime, but I shot another interview for the documentary on. Had a Adam Carolla show on Friday morning when the movie is released, and we're taping this on a Sunday. I should point out, so time is compressed, and had a podcast taping, shot an interview for the podcast. I'm like, oh, I got just enough time to watch this movie, which I assigned to you, was very excited about. And on my way home, Christy texts, and she's like, hey, do you know how to reset the router? I'm like, what? And then all of a sudden, another text comes through. It's like, never mind. Spectrum says the internet's out for the whole neighborhood. So internet gone. No way to watch the film.
There's always a way. You could have watched it on your phone.
I could have watched it on LTE, I suppose.
Yeah.
Rather not.
I don't blame you.
Rather not.
Hey, that's a valid excuse. It's an excuse of our times, right? It's going to be happening more and more.
It's true.
And that couldn't have helped its numbers because, it's only one small area, yet this is a very, very heavily populated area.
True. If you're in the Rancho Park area of West LA.
This is Rancho Park?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, you probably experienced an internet outage sometime Friday afternoon.
Weird.
Yeah.
Hey, I got something to say about
that. I really wanted to watch it, too.
I got something to say about that. Fuck Spectrum, very hard. I hate that company. They're in my top five least favorite companies in the world.
ATC, fuck Uverse, or Spectrum?
Oh, AT&T is right top. Bank of America. The only company that's on my list that I've never even done business with, Wells Fargo. I've never even given them a cent, not a red cent, but fuck them so hard. Because they just get caught stealing from people and they just stick around. And then they blame their own employees and they throw their employees under the bus. And the employees are like, we're just doing what we were told to do. Bank of America, long story. I've discussed it at length on the old, I'll say it again. Hey, I was a young man, and $39 was a lot of money to me when this happened. And there was a bank charge and some kind of fee for $39, and it was not accurate. It was for something that they had done wrong. So on the ledger, so I went in and I made a little appointment like you used to do, and I sat down with a banker and I said, "Hey, here's the thing, like $39 because of this, but it was actually that." I can't remember. It said like a balance, that the balance wasn't high enough, but it was. And they're like, "Oh yeah, we see what you're saying. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mr. Cowan." I said, "Okay, cool. You're gonna reverse that?" And they said, "Oh no, it's our policy to never reverse charges."
Wow.
I said, "What is your policy to never reverse, even though you just said that you were in the wrong?"
And then you she said, "False by your own admission."
Looking back on it, I don't understand how that's even a real thing. I don't know if she was just fucking with me or what, but I looked her dead in the eyes. It was very empowering, Brian. I said, "Oh, well, I have a policy too. It's to remove all my money and never bank with you again. That's my new policy." So I took out my $13 or whatever it was and never looked back.
They've reversed charges for me many times.
They do it all the time with like late charges or, you know, if you think you have auto pay, cause sometimes auto pay doesn't. What are we doing? This is not film related. Maybe. Let's stop movies.
Maybe she wanted you off the books.
She might have. I mean, I did that other really, really bad thing before this. Maybe they had me red flagged. They were just looking to get me off the books. Mm-hmm. Or I had $19 in my account and I needed that $20 spot bad, and it was after hours, and I lied and I made a deposit slip at the ATM and it said that I was depositing a dollar so that I could take out the 20. And I got reprimanded. Oh, I was talked to about that shit.
Did Mr. America talk to you about
that? They did. They called me in and I had to have a little sit down with them. It was a couple years before they did their whole like, we don't reverse charges.
Yeah, they wanted you off the books.
Hey, both fucking fuck themselves though, right? I fuck them hard.
You know what? I find them a nuisance at best.
ADT, right in my top five worst companies to ever deal with. ADT, really? Spectrum.
Haven't dealt with ADT.
All right, let's move on and talk movies. I would like to thank very much Philip Crow for being essentially our sponsor this week. He's our decider, and yeah. It's one of the most kismet. Everything's just kind of lining up top fives we've ever done. It's going to be landing on Veterans Day, American Veterans Day.
There you go.
We're doing top five performances by veterans. So we are going to have a laundry list, a long, long list of actors that we all know.
Very much enjoyed researching this. A number of actors came up I had no idea had military service.
That's right.
I researched their service and found a lot of interesting tidbits, facts, stories, anecdotes.
That is true. I the same, Brian. And he being Philip Crow, you might have heard his name before. He's the one who sends screenshots of classic moments from the show from the last 12 years or so. Like he just goes back, listens to old episodes, and he will routinely email me screenshots of where funny things or classic things have happened on the show. So as we move forward and fill out our YouTube channel, we'll have Philip to thank for that, as well as Jordan Montgomery, of course. Your dog's about to bark a lot because a spindly looking hipster is walking towards your door with
I don't like that.
He can't figure out how the gate works, the intricate workings of the gate latch. He still has not figured. Is that a he?
That is
perhaps. It's hard to tell. That's a lady. That's a woman. It's hard to tell.
Born omen?
Look at how excited you are that I'm putting my foot in my mouth like this.
I'm excited that you're looking out the window and just your observations.
I'm preparing, bracing myself for future noise.
Charlie has no reaction.
Yeah, no reaction. That's true. That's weird. I apologize for that diatribe. All right.
Oh, wait till they close the door.
So
they close the gate.
Brian, but it's also the Marines' birthday the day before Veterans Day. So,
you know I know that? November 10th, you know I know that?
How do you know that?
My uncle / godfather, John Bishop, proud Marine, would call me occasionally in college and sing the Marine Corps hymn to me on Marine Corps birthday, despite the fact that I'd probably gone to bed 4 or 5 hours prior.
Mm.
He'd call me at 7 a.m.
Well, he's a Marine. He doesn't give a fuck about sleep.
He's like, "Why aren't you up?"
Yeah, so Philip is he's a Marine. He's a Marine veteran. Thank you for your service, Philip. 4 years in the Marines. So all five of his on his list are Marines. Indeed, they are Marines. I have people from all different branches.
Oh, on his list. Okay.
His list are all Marines.
Can I ask you a question?
Shoot.
Do you know what Semper Fi means?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't want to tell you, but I know what it means. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
All right, cool.
Motivate. Yeah. Semper Fi, motivate.
Mm-hmm. Should I tell the people who don't
You
know?
Should tell the rest of the people. I'm just telling
it's
you.
Short for Semper Fidelis, which is Latin for always faithful.
Very good. Very, very good.
I didn't have to look
that up. So next time I got look that up. A woman can find finds her husband cheating on her, she can say, you're not Semperfi at all.
Far from Semperfi.
Far from Semperfi.
Semper fail.
When you were talking to Mo on the Corolla show all those years ago, you're not very Semperfi in that moment, were you? You weren't very loyal to the old co-host?
I was
loyal to yourself, you were.
What, do you think he'd listen?
Andrew Martin is the one who brought us Ikaru, which is a film that I should have seen decades ago, probably. I'm very excited to get your take on Ikaru, a 7-year-old film now. Feels like homework, but let me tell you this.
It 2.5 hours.
It's 2 hours, 24. This is a movie that I think most everyone should dip their toes into. And we'll tell you how far you got to get into it before you get invested into it. I think that's a good service. Like, you let people know, like, you should watch this movie, but don't leave it there. Like,
some people give it at least 12 minutes.
At least an hour, because this movie gives back a lot without giving anything away. Next up, we're going to be doing Enduring Love for my boy Rand. He paid for this a while ago. He wanted it to come out around the same time that Knives Out 2 comes out because it's starring Daniel Craig, and it is Rand's favorite movie ever. It's called Enduring Love. We will be talking about that one this time next week. That's the next week's assigner.
All right. We're working on that be streamed for people who want to.
I haven't looked into that. I haven't looked into that yet. You can do that. I got two more pieces of self-serving business before we move forward. The
streaming on Canopy and Fubo, but if you want to rent it, it's $3 on Amazon, Apple TV.
Everyone should have a Canopy. By now, guys, you just go get yourself a library card and then open up Canopy and Hoopla. They're great libraries. They're great streaming services. And it just adds to your capabilities of watching movies.
Love this. All right. Self-serving.
Yeah. Self-serving. So Jillian just let me know. It's a little concerning. Not really. It's our side hustle. We have a lot of fun doing Addie's Antiques. But we have now spent, and when I say we, it's mainly Jillian doing the funding of this because of my financial situation as of late. But five figures have gone into this as far as buying
product.
Really?
Over 10K?
Yes, over 10K of buying things from estate sales and auctions. And, it makes sense when I look at our house and now we just have, you know, stuff stacked everywhere. And we're making some really, really good sales as well. And it's always kind of been our goal to break even by end of the year. And I do think that we will do some good business during the holiday months. That said, we're going to be gone.
Point. That's a good point.
We're going to be gone from Thanksgiving until like the first few days of December. So I wanted to throw it out there to everyone listening on the program. Go onto the site. It's on the Facebook marketplace there. And if you see anything you want for a loved one or for yourself, or, you know, we have a lot of very unique mid-century stuff that's authentic. It's the real deal. And we have very, very competitive prices. The way Jillian does is she looks it up. She sees what people are selling it for. And she routinely just makes it for 20, 30, sometimes 50% less than what it usually sells for, because she likes to move products. She's addicted to the endorphins rush of getting a sale.
I remember.
So yeah. So if you
sell CDs on Amazon,
if we're going to have to pause the site, I guess, or pause the sales while we're out of town, because it's only set up that you have to, you know, ship it within 3 or 4 days or something. It's different on eBay, but for a Facebook marketplace, if you see anything, just shoot me an email and say that you want that. We will ship it within 2 days after we get back. We get back on the 5th. We will be shipping everything out that week. So we will get it to you. It should get to you by Christmas. And we have all sorts of really cool, a lot of cloth, a lot of little statues, little knickknacks, all authentic stuff from like 50, 60, 70 years ago, mostly is our wheelhouse. So I know for me, I got a lot of people that are hard to shop for, and I'm doing a lot of shopping when I go to these estate sales because I find really cool.
I was going
to
say, a lot of these cool trinkets and collectibles and interesting things are applicable to a wide range of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know I needed a vintage butter dish.
And a lot of it is like stuff that you'll recognize, like, oh my God, that's for my mom used to have exactly that.
Exactly.
And if she doesn't have it anymore, we might have something that is like it or from this in the same vein. So you can probably get at least a lot of ideas over at Addie's Antiques on the old Facebook Marketplace.
Perfect. Search Addie's Antiques, ATTY, over there at the Facebook Marketplace. Let me tell you something, two good things about this. Number one, standard Reaganomics. You got to spend money to make money.
That's right.
You spent the money, you're going to, what is your, generally, you probably don't have this statistic, but generally, what is the profit margin? Are you buying it for a dollar and selling it for two? You know what I mean? Is it, what's the,
we try
obviously
and
it changes for thing to thing.
Yeah, it depends on the price and whatnot, but after shipping costs and the stuff and gas and getting there, we're trying to get at least 1.5 to 2. Also, all the cleaning. She soaks everything and cleans it with toothbrushes. And then I take
sweat
pictures.
There's
a lot
equity.
Of sweat equity. So we try and do at least 1.5 to 2. There are some things that we get that the people who are selling it to us just don't realize what they're selling to us, and we get them for like a song, or they'll throw something in, because we bundle a lot of stuff, and we buy, you know, like it was yesterday, I think, or 2 days ago. All the days are like, we spent $175 at one place, which is kind of high. Jillian came home from another place where she spent $350, and her mom was with her, and she's like, "What'd you do there?
You sell a few things, and you've already made your money back."
But yeah, she did stumble across some very highly collectible salt and pepper shakers of all things, and she got them for $5 because it was a salt and pepper shaker house, and they were all $5. And these particular salt and pepper shakers were worth like $220.
No kidding.
So that's another one of those like endorphin rushes that she's after. But yeah, I'm putting a lot of sweat equity into it as well. Not nearly as much as her, but thank you very much to everyone who has bought so far. And please think of us when you're looking for that hard to shop for person.
Nice. And the other good thing is this stuff doesn't go bad. It's not like it's rotting on your shelf.
It appreciates, actually. Like a lot of this stuff becomes more, you know, less of them are out there as each year goes by because they break or get lost or thrown away.
Sounds like you buy them up.
Yeah. They're all on display. Like all the stuff she likes the most is on display.
It's nice.
You see, it's always changing every time you come to the house. It's different. Great.
It really looks good.
Now, final self-serving thing, at least this has to do with movies, Brian.
Oh, God.
But all right, here's how it goes.
Making a movie?
I am making a movie. That's a separate. I'm having weekly meetings about the next movie with producers and stuff. It's good stuff. Yeah, that more on that front very soon. Huge shout out to Chris Moran for jumpstarting that as well. I have been approached. It's strange how this happened, but two different people just within this last week, Brian, approached me about watching a movie and talking with them about it off air. And
was I one of them?
No, okay. But it's kind of like an extension of the Film Vault, but it would be, and these two people are very into it. One guy actually kind of wrote up a whole like little business plan and really, really wants me to throw it out there. So I'm like, you know what? Because I'm trying to find ways to bring in money and continue to make the next movie without going out and, you know, being gone from, like, I'm leaving next week for 3 full days on a job, right?
On a European vacation.
No, I'm working on a gig. So
the next week.
I'm looking for ways to, in the meantime, to work from home and give people value. So doing chats with Andy's, you know, sometimes rudderless, is completely open-ended, and I do them here and there. But I like this idea much more, which is if you have a movie that you love and you've never heard me talk about it and you want to talk with me about it, you can assign me a movie. I sit down and watch your, you know, 90 to 2-hour movie, and then I speak with you about it for 30 minutes back
private
and forth.
Private flick fashion.
Wow. We can do it
on
Zoom if you like. So it'd be like, you'd be like my co-host for that 30 minutes and we flick fest this movie. It could be a movie you've never seen before and you want to watch it with me type thing, and I'll watch it, you watch it, and then we'll get together and talk about it. And so two different people brought this to my attention. They both want to do it. One guy's calling it movie film therapy, which I don't know if it's quite that. But if you would like to do this, I can only do 5 spots before the year's over because of time restraints. But if you would like to do it, it's this is where it gets weird. But I'm just gonna call him Eric. I don't want to call it his full name, but he very, very smart guy, business thinking, very successful. And he laid it all out and he's like, do not feel bad for throwing this out here. I think you need to do this. And I think people would like to do this with you. So $150 gets you me watching the movie and then a full 30 minutes talking about that movie. And this is something that I will be able to do for sure. Let's see how it goes. So $150 for, you know, it's at least 2 hours of my time, if not more. And I really like talking
to watch the movie.
So if you're interested in that, or if you want to get a gift for yourself or something like that, and I feel a bit like a whore, but hey, it's something that I want to throw out there because I'm just trying to make it work so that I can make this next movie and crawl out of debt in doing so. And if I can watch movies and further my film knowledge while doing so, great. So I thought I'd throw it out there.
Will these films be brought to the Film Vault?
If you want it to be brought to the Film Vault, I can. If you want to keep it private and or off the books, I can do that as well. If you want to just have a phone call about it, I can do that. If you would like to do the full video, I can record the video back and forth as well in my studio that I have set up with lights and everything like that. And
this
I can be on my
own. This is the premise of a movie where like someone assigns you a snuff film starring bad. This is private, Anderson.
But I mean, a lot of people, I don't know how many, but a lot of people don't really like to have, you know, be held responsible for a movie that we flick fest on the show necessarily. So if you don't want to.
We've been assigned, I can't see that being true.
But if you really, it's like a little bit of film school. Cause I do, I've seen a lot of movies. I've gone to film school. I made a movie. It's
Professor
a little,
Anderson.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. So I like to throw that out there. I have, so email me. I have 5 spots available between now and the end of the year. And then it's shut down and we'll see. And then I'll reevaluate next year if it is something that I would like to continue to do. But I think this could be a lot of fun.
Self-serving for the show. I meant to bring this up off the air, but fuck it, let's do it right now.
Yeah,
I was doing a little research, like he asked me to, for a Hallmark movie, so mm-hmm. if we do a watch along.
Oh yes.
The problem.
Oh no.
Is everywhere they're streaming, i.e., Peacock has commercials built in. So I'm wondering if everyone has the same commercials built in that maybe it's another here nor there. I just didn't
do it.
I didn't
want to
mess with the timing.
Yeah, it's going to be regional, so that's not.
Well, I don't
work.
Care. I mean, the length of the.
Are any of do any of them make it onto the big platforms?
I'd have to really start doing. Now I have to go and like look individually with these fucking movies. I know that Peacock houses these because it's part of the network or whatever, and they're all commercials built in. So
that's no good, Brian. We
would
can't
you?
Do that.
Are you so committed to this that I should start looking at individual films?
Well, it's you're up, so you got to pick the movie. I think it'd be really fun to watch some hokey,
okay.
awful movie
I can do that.
I'll you enjoy. That
start
most
doing
of us-
it right now.
No, don't do that.
I'm going to go to Just Watch.
Please don't do that.
Candace.
No, that's not what I was
Cameron,
suggesting at all.
Candace Cameron Bure.
Not suggesting that at all. All right, here we go. Ready for a little fan fiction? You want to explain what that is?
Christmas Under Wraps is streaming on Hulu or on Hoopla.
But Hoopla's like not many people have it.
I know. Hold on. Let me get there. Switch for Christmas streaming on Fubo. Fubo? Fubo. Fubo?
Oh my God.
A Christmas Detour.
No. All right. This is going to be harder.
Okay. You know, I can do this. This is doable. I can look up Lazy Chabert. I can look up any number of stars. Okay. This will happen. Oh, you're out. A Journey for Christmas streaming on Hallmark Movies now.
All right. Can you do a fan fiction?
I've
just talked a lot.
I'll introduce
it. I prefer not to.
Well, I don't have it here in front of me, but I'll introduce it.
What? You don't have it? You got the email? I got the email. And you're on the email.
Am I on there?
I think so. Oh, I thought that's what you were laughing about was the listener art with Wakanda Forever.
Oh, is it in the notes?
Yeah, and it's gonna make reading Mitch's fan fictions.
I didn't get anything from Mitch. I got Avery's notes, but I didn't get.
All right, set it up.
All right, hey, we like to hear what the people are listening to, and we call it fan flictions. Every week, Mitch Burns posts and says, "Hey," on our social media, Facebook, even on a Reddit page, he'll post and say, "Hey, what have you guys seen this last week? Let me know." And he compiles it. You know, sometimes he'll even put together a Film Vault's Rotten Tomatoes score. So, without further ado, here is what the people have been seeing.
Steve Trujillo. Steve Trujillo. He saw Terra Fire 2.
Oh no.
Here's what he says. Violent, disgusting, hilarious, a ton of gore to the point that it's torture porn, but Art the Clown is so damn funny that it's almost lighthearted. That's how I felt about the first one. I know the second one, Bri-Bri, is a whole lot tougher to slurp down, but yeah, Art the Clown has such a funny punk rock vibe to him that he makes it almost lighthearted. Very well put, Steve. Thank you for that. Colonel Bluegrass on Twitter, finally watched Dinner in America. Fuck them all but us, Bri-Bri. Fuck
right.
To the yes, Colonel.
Fun movie.
Beyond a fun.
It's a fun movie.
What was that you said years ago about the good little genre piece?
I don't know. What was that? What was I talking about?
Who knows? Brianic.
Good little genre pick.
Brianiac. Oh, Jesus Christ. Brianiac on Reddit. Watch Barbarian. I was simultaneously horrified and laughing aloud at some scenes. It was a good escape from the typical horror tropes, especially what looked like a, I don't want to say that because like, it's almost like a spoiler.
Don't
there.
Say it.
The movie takes a turn halfway through and an actor who I was not aware was really even in it.
I have not seen.
But you're right there, Brianiac. Brianiac.
Like Brainiac, but Brianiac.
Dantastic. 4112. I saw something in the dirt today. I don't know if I liked it or not yet, or if I understand it, or really what's real in the whole damn universe anymore. All right. So that's his take on something in the dirt. And then finally, Mitch, All Quiet on the Western Front will be nominated for an Oscar, even if it's just foreign language Oscar. It's not foreign language anymore, Mitch. It's
international film.
Even if it's just an international Oscar. Incredible movie. Definitely better than 1917. Well, I mean, that's a. Not that high of a bar. Mm. I think we can all agree.
I liked 1917.
People liked it.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I was I was expecting, I don't know. What am I going to talk shit about a masterpiece?
Look at you. You're trying to make a movie and you're just fucking burning.
I know.
Mendes comes to you. He's like, hey, I'm interested in making a movie.
I just would have made it differently.
Producing a film. That said, I want to hear all your podcasts.
Like the score. The score rubbed me the wrong way. The
score. What a weird thing to point out.
Not really. I mean, it's the one thing that they had total absolute control over because it was a oneer and they had to deal with a whole lot of other.
That's fair.
A whole lot of other limitations, but with the score, I feel like the score was just a little bit too dour for me. All right. Let's talk flicks.
Let's confess some flicks of our own in a second we call Flick Fashions. What have you seen? Well, I know what you've seen.
Weird. I'll start off with a big sexy. I guess it is because it's accessible to anyone who has a Roku TV, which I think I would imagine is like a pretty large segment of smart TV owners out there. Or even like just the Roku boxes. If you're looking at the Roku homepage, which many of us do, you have been bombarded with Weird, the Al Yankovic biopic.
Now, for the listeners, I assigned this to you after having last episode. I was like, yeah, I'll think of something. And I realized, oh, Weird comes out this week. We're going to watch it. We're going to confess it. And then I realized, oh, I will not be able to watch this film. But Anderson is determined for the good of the show to pre-flick it. So let's hear your initial thoughts.
Yes. So this is directed by one Eric Apple, who's done a number of things, Brian. And it was written by Weird Al himself, as well as Eric Apple. And it's just a litany of who's who as far as, like, you know, all the cameos.
By, obviously, contemporary.
Lin-Manuel Miranda's in there. You got Rainn Wilson. You got Toby Huss makes an appearance.
Rainn Wilson's Dr. Demento, yes.
He is, yes, Dr. Demento. Daniel Radcliffe is Weird Al. And
the titular Weird.
There's a pool scene, Brian, that was akin to the pool scene in The Dirt, if you recall, the Motley Crue story.
Oh.
That gives it a run for its money. I would say it's actually better than The Dirt's
pool
scene.
That's hard to do.
Here's what the movie is. Delightful.
Oh,
it's so much fun.
Oh my God, I'm so into it now.
It's
I thought you were going to be annoyed.
And I kept doing that thing where I'm like, if Brian loved this and saw it before me and was telling me I had to watch it, would I still love it? And I came up with an answer. Absolutely.
Probably not.
Absolutely.
Really? Yeah. Is that fun?
So it sheds a whole lot of light on where Weird came from. And they approached it, Weird himself and Apple, I would imagine, like, what could have happened in Weird Al's childhood? What would create a Weird Al?
Such a monster.
Yes. And all of the tropes are there with Toby Huss actually plays his dad, and he works the factory, Brian, and he's not happy with his son trying to be an artist, right?
The great Toby Huss.
A lot of like Billy Elliot type vibes here. And so much light as shit. I had no idea he had such a rough upbringing. I had no idea about the Michael Jackson controversy.
I'm
dancing around.
Set the table.
I didn't know that he dated Madonna for as long as he did, nor did I know about his brushes with Pablo Escobar. I mean, this movie goes deep. It's revelatory at every turn.
No, did you think they were fucking with the audience, or did you take it all as fact?
It's all absolute, 100% fact. It's all been fact checked.
Wow.
And it's just, it makes me see Weird Al in a whole new light with much more reverence and respect, to be honest.
Okay. I'm into it, man. I'm hoping to see it last week. I'll definitely see it this week. I'm excited.
It takes every single trope you've seen in every single like rock and roll story, biopic, and it just completely parodies it and lampoons it and has so much fun doing it. There is a bit of a departure. Obviously, I'm fucking around. Like, it's just absolute and total horseshit, but it's such fun horseshit. I found myself...
Oh, the Madonna stuff and the Pablo Escobar stuff?
All of it. Okay. It's just all absolute bullshit. And I found myself laughing so fucking hard. And I was not expecting that because I'm not a giant Weird Al fan. Like, he makes me uncomfortable. I've come around a little bit.
Remember when I played lasagna? Your appearance.
Yeah.
You were angry. You were so angry.
But just the way that they show how he came up with My Bologna is just, it's just really, really well done and fun. It's just fun. It takes a bit of a departure in the third act. It becomes almost an action film. And the final, I feel like the movie deserved more than it got with the actual end. But so much of this movie so fun.
Okay.
Does he live? I highly recommend this movie for anyone who likes that just wacky out there brand of comedy. Now, my wife walked in the room during a scene that wasn't particularly funny. It was just over the top violence coming from Toby Huss, his father, who unleashed on a door to door ukulele salesman or what's it called?
Accordion
salesman. And his dad was very unhappy and he beat him senseless with his fake hand that he had from an accident that he got at the factory.
Understood.
Daniel Radcliffe is fantastic in this movie. I didn't know he had it in him. I've only seen him in commercials for Harry Potter.
Sure.
And as a farting corpse in Swiss Army Man. I've never really seen him do much beyond those two things, but he crushed it here.
Can I tell you a total side note? Tessa is all of a sudden very into the new Harry Potter films. Like, we walked in my house.
Yes.
She was watching number 7.
Riveted.
In a row. Like, she is all in. And I've been semi-paying attention the whole time for the last week or two when she's been watching these. It is shocking how much better those movies got. Like, the first couple, 2, 3 or whatever, were average, would be quite the compliment, quite the generous compliment. By the end, they're like real movies.
What are they making in the factory, Brian?
Of?
Where his dad works. No one knows.
Oh, it's just a factory.
Dude, the pool scene, like, everyone is there. Divine is there. Pee Wee Herman. Like, everything from the 80s. All the member berries are being parodied in that backyard. And the bass player from Queen is played by, what's his name? Damashal. The guy that played Polka Dots.
Dashmalkian.
Yeah, he plays it perfectly.
He's like personal friends with Gina Grad.
Yeah.
We grew up in the same town.
Yeah, you know what? I got a connection too. My buddy Nathan is friends with him.
Yeah, we gotta get him on the show. It'd be a great film.
We were supposed to have drinks with him and Nathan right before COVID hit, and then all got derailed.
Come on,
you'd imagine. Remember how creeped out we were by his performance in The Dark Knight? Like, he is the creepiest.
Every performance is creepy.
He's great in this. Laughing out loud. Jack Black was playing Wolfman Jack in that scene. It's just satisfying and hilarious and
I'm
awesome.
Excited.
I really like it. I was watching it thinking this is probably top 10. This is going to hit
Volties. Oh, wow.
It did fall off for me a little bit.
Sounds like they pinned themselves
why.
Into a corner a little bit, like up in the ante.
Where does it go now? Yeah, yeah. You're right. They had to keep outdoing themselves. And I think maybe they fell victim to that a little bit.
All right. Well, I'm excited either way. Very good pre-fliction. If you guys want to watch that in the next week for when we flick fest that for real, you can watch Weird on the Roku channel.
Yeah, I look forward to talking to you about it furthermore. And it's a little disappointing that it was, I guess, the first ever Roku original release. So there's
true?
No way to watch it without the interruption of commercials.
Yeah. Our own former producer, Logan, I think, tweeted about that. Like, why I would rather rent this than watch it, you know, free with commercials.
I don't even know if that was an option. I don't think it
That's
was.
That's what he was saying. Like, why can't I even rent this?
Yeah. And
annoying.
And maybe if they, I don't know how I would have felt about it, but maybe if they got ultra clever and kind of worked that in with the commercials.
Not bad.
But then you're kind of locked in there and you wouldn't be able to stream anywhere else later down the road. I don't know. But yeah, it was like a little distracting. So yeah. All right.
I got two films left to talk about. You also have the same two. One of which I took 0 notes and one of which I took many notes. And it might surprise you. Which is which?
Take it away.
Ikiru, 1952 film directed by Akira Kurosawa, starring Takashi Shimura. I didn't write down his name in the film, but I don't know if you have it there in front of you.
It's Watanabe, Mr. Watanabe.
That's it.
Kenji Watanabe.
I think it's Watanabe.
Watanabe.
Well, I could be wrong.
What's his name? No, you're saying it wrong. That's what you just did there.
As soon as you said it, I knew what the real one was.
I have no idea what his name is. You just said his name wrong.
The title translates to live.
To live.
To live. Ikiru.
And to live and die in Japan.
Oh, well put.
Yeah.
Blood and blood out of Japan.
Got
it. 98% of Rotten Tomatoes. This is a all-time classic. HBO streams this as well as their Criterion channel.
Great.
Where I watched it because they had a fun little intro. Not an intro, but like, you know, under the also the additional features, there was a little 1-minute thing with Bill Hader of all people, who this is like his favorite Kurosawa film.
I could see that. He's such a sensitive little dude.
He was like in a chair in a very scholarly background, you know, books and everything, in a suit, just talking about how much he loves Ikiru.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, it was good enough for Bill Hader. Oh, who assigned this to us, by the way?
Andrew Martin.
Andrew
who
Martin.
I spoke with this morning. We had a nice conversation about it. And I always, you know, I always throw that in to make sure that people, like the signers, feel like they're getting their money's worth. But I try and limit that to like 10 minutes. And I don't even have to do that. Sometimes we don't even hook up. So it's a little bit different from what I was discussing earlier, just to be clear.
Yeah. This opens with a very wry narration, very sardonic, talking to the audience, not from the character, but you learn right away that our hero, our main character, Mr. Watanabe, is stricken with stomach cancer, unbeknownst to him.
Right.
And it goes, the kind of movie this is, early in the film, so he's a bureaucrat. He works at like the Department of Public Affairs in some Japanese city. Possibly Tokyo. I didn't quite catch that. But either way, he's a government employee, pencil pusher, surrounded by bureaucrats and pencil pushers. And the job is basically just to keep the people moving. Keep people moving. If they come in, like, I have a problem, sir, and I hear at the City of Public Works or the Office of Public Works, oh, you need to go to desk number 8. Oh, you need to go upstairs. And
there's a great montage which illustrates
it's
this
great.
Clearly and perfectly and beautifully and frustratingly. Because, I mean, anyone who's ever had to deal with the machine, I mean, especially us out here in this giant metropolis that is LA, like most of us don't even try.
No.
It's just,
if it's like, oh, to get your passport renewed, you have to go, I'm like, fuck it, I'm out. And I'll pay whatever I can just to have someone do it for me.
It's a great metaphor for the way that a lot of people live, which is just putting one foot in front of the other, not getting anything done, and just moving, keep your head down, move forward, and do nothing with it.
And the voiceover, I wrote it down because I liked it so much, explains about this process, about being that middle management pencil pusher. The best way to protect your position in this world is to do nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
No,
so it's
no
a
risks.
Very, it's a very knowing, like I said, wry voiceover. The voiceover is explaining, you know, here's what's really going on with all this. And so we meet our hero. He's surrounded by endless paperwork is everywhere. It is floor-to-ceiling paperwork, just all around. It's basically a maze, a labyrinth of paperwork.
At one point in the film, I won't say where, but they give you the illusion that a man is drowning in the paperwork. He's submerged the paperwork. And while it is a bit over the top, probably for the sake of the visuals, I don't think it's that far off. Mm. You know, from especially before computers and whatnot, just the amount of documents that he had to put his little red stamp
that's
on,
right.
Which you can only assume meant denied, right?
Oh, yeah.
These were all requests that he just spent his entire day denying
just
public requests.
Saying no to everything.
Yes.
So the one thing, Anderson, maybe you can clear this up for me, because the one thing I didn't get, or maybe I did get it, and he goes to the doctor.
Yes.
Because he's having stomach pains, he's throwing up what he's eating, and the doctor tells him, oh, don't worry about it, it's just an ulcer. And when he leaves the office, this is early in the film, and when he leaves the we've already been notified by a voiceover that the man's dying of cancer, and when he leaves the office, the doctor basically, you know, says to the other nurses and doctors in the room, yeah, that guy's a fucking goner.
Yeah, you know, 6 months to a year, if he's lucky.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
And so what I didn't get was Watanabe basically figures out or does the math. They have stomach cancer. But did anyone ever tell him?
This is within the first 20 minutes of the movie. So we're giving you a good setup. And you're still at a point, if you're going to watch this one, which I highly recommend, you're still not to the point 20 minutes in where you're like, oh, I get it. Right?
You're not hooked yet.
That's not, for me, it didn't actually happen until the last 40 minutes of the movie is really where it all stirred me. And
with the wake?
The wake.
The wake was special.
And the way that was, because Kurosawa is kind of obsessed with telling nonlinear stories, and I think he was one of the first to dare to do so on the big screen. And he does it so effectively, and so many lesser filmmakers would have just told a linear story, would have seen everything that ends up happening, unfolding in real time with our protagonist, but instead we get to see it through the point of view of his coworkers, which, I mean, we're kind of giving something away, but it's all right there.
Well, it's explained to us right away.
Yeah, that he has, you know, we see the writing on the wall. It's very predictable in that fashion, but where it ends up going and how the story ends up being told is fantastic. It's funny you bring up that particular scene. I actually watched that twice. I went back and watched it again.
Which one?
The one with the doctor.
Oh, the doctor.
And,
yeah.
And I talked about it with Andrew for a bit this morning, and that is this. First, they give us the whole preamble in the waiting room where he talks to that guy that lets us and him know that, hey, if the doctor says that it's ulcer, then this is what it really is. And, you know, if he says this, that means you only have 6 months. But why? Like, what is it, a cultural thing? And did they do it then? Do they still do it now? And then Andrew brought up the fact that the farewell, if you recall, Awkwafina's farewell, which got all the accolades, same exact thing, right? Oh, they lied to the grandmother. So maybe it's a cultural thing that
happens. That's a really good point.
And maybe there is some stats that show that if you tell, like, you know, 10 people that they have 6 months to a year, their body will shut down even faster through depression and panic. I don't know.
That's interesting though. Yeah, I did. I remember that now. So interesting. I thought about this and I didn't write it down, but off the top of your head, the trope now, the what has become a trope of telling the audience right off the bat, oh, this character dies. Mm-hmm. That has been imitated in, not imitated, but replicated in Sunset Boulevard.
American Beauty.
American Beauty, I was about to say. Is this the origin of that trope? Has there been another story where it's like, hey, welcome to our story. This guy's going to die by the end.
I would bet that there's something out there, but to my knowledge, this is the oldest film that I've seen that has, it starts off that way.
I mean, Romeo and Juliet's about like two star-crossed lovers, but they don't say that, you know.
We don't know that they did that, right? It's just everyone knows now because, does it open up with them both dying?
No, it opens up with the narration of two star-crossed lovers, but it doesn't specifically say they're going to die.
Yeah, so it's a different...
That's what I'm saying. I'm reaching.
I don't know. That said, I mean, it is... The one of the first films I ever made had the same kind of setup where like this guy lived a certain life. He learned that he was going to die and like it changed everything around. Right. But then my guy gets killed by, you know, horrific bus fire as soon as he becomes an optimist after being a pessimist all those years. But this is the same kind of thing where it's a wake up call. Like he changes his ways.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is.
And you see it coming. All of this is telegraphed and it's all.
Well, it must've been mind blowing in 1952.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is all stuff we sort of come to. That was my point. Like, this is now a trope where back then it might have been ahead of its time.
Oh, I think it's way ahead of its time. And I don't know if you're, I'm not picking up if you're loving this movie as much.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I liked it a lot. I really admired the third act, which you alluded to at his funeral. His story, his final act of his life is told not by him, not by the filmmaker, but by, I mean,
his coworkers.
Yeah, his coworkers are people who loved him because his family's there too. But it was really artfully done. I really enjoyed it. I also, so we're leaving a lot out just for you to discover, but at one point he goes out for a very long, in filmmaking terms, long night of drinking.
He goes through the stages of
reckoning. He's reliving his life in a sense. You know what I mean?
Well, he's trying to live his life for the first time in a sense and see what he's missed, right? Yeah. He's YOLOing, right? And he goes out with this one guy who's kind of a miscreant. And we're saying a lot. He also...
He dates. He goes out drinking. He goes out. He goes on dates. Like he's reliving.
Was he dating? I think that no.
I mean, in his mind, he was.
I think that he just liked like he told her like he was hanging out with a young woman. I don't think they were physical ever.
I'm not trying to say that. I'm saying the things he does kind of replicates or recreates his younger days.
Yeah, he's doing that for the first time. And then it all comes down to what does he really want to do? This has a lot of similarities to the movie that I'm planning on making next as far as an older guy taking his final swing and actually trying to do something before it's too late.
The scene where he sings a...
Haunting.
A song called Life is Brief after he understands what's going to happen to him is very effective. One shot.
I'm getting chills right now. Just kind of thinking about it. It
was great.
It is a remarkable movie, even though we might not be selling it proper, but it feels like homework.
We're not diving into a lot of details in the middle part because it's fun to discover.
Yeah, and it's not depressing. It's uplifting, if anything. At times, you know, it's a the worst part for me was this miscreant that he goes out drinking with one night. He's a scoundrel, kicks a dog off camera, but you can hear the dog crying. I'm like, why did that fucker have to kick that dog?
But did they add that in post?
Well, yeah, of course. They didn't actually have him kick a dog off screen, like, boom, Mike the dog. I mean, yes, they added it, but why do they show him kicking the fucking dog? Oh, look, a black dog. Great. And he kicks the dog very hard. Mm. Nice little touches, too. Like, they were playing Happy Birthday during his wake. Almost like I don't know if that's just like a cultural thing that they do quite often, but it all comes down to that drunken recounting that lasts for 40 minutes that is so rewarding and worth all of the. And it's not even like it's hard to get through that first hour and 20 minutes or whatnot, hour 20 plus, hour 30.
No, I mean, it takes this time, but it's also going somewhere. You know what I mean? Do you ever feel like this movie meanders? Even though it's long, it kind of chugs along at a pace.
Yeah, it does.
I don't mean to make that sound negative. What I mean is you never feel like, all right, where are we going with this?
High recommend.
Yeah, this is really good.
And, you know, earlier this year, we were gifted, at least I felt that way, with Turtles Can Fly.
No.
And no, Byron, Closerman, assigned us that. And that was, I thought, a clear-cut winner for the best movie I've never seen that we do that top five every year. Yeah. I think right around the time of the Vaulties. But
usually it's in January, I believe.
Okay. But I don't, yeah, we could do it then.
Sure. I'm telling you what
it works. We could. I realize how that sounded. I didn't try and do it that way. I'm sorry. But yeah, this now is going to give it a run for its money for sure. I don't know which one I liked more. Both of them, I'm so happy to have seen this year.
Please assign us more Kurosawa, me especially because I've not seen too much. This is actually the first Kurosawa I've ever seen.
Of what you want. You can't take requests. It's not
I can make requests all I want.
All right.
Or what are you doing here?
We're taking a quick break.
Fine.
We'll be back in a minute with our last mm-hmm. flick fashion, which is a little an old classic, I guess. Jennifer's Body.
It's not that old. It's not that classic. It's fine.
It's older classic. Yeah. I mean, it's like 10. We'll get to it.
Welcome back. Are we okay with music?
No, we're doing a little feels right here, buddy.
I know. I thought you had a freak out there for a second.
Well, yeah, because the music's not picking up on the YouTube feed for whatever reason. But hey, what are you going to do? You know what? It's probably just as well because we might get shut down for the old YouTube for some of the music, even though we're all featured artists. What the fuck? Why are they not playing the music?
Come on.
I don't know why the mixer's not picking up the music. It doesn't make... Well, because usually Avery's here playing the music, and it's not a problem. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Stupid Avery.
Fucking Aves.
True story. Last night, a little peek behind the curtain. Last night was a long day, and I thought to myself, the clocks are changing. Long day. Up late. We're up past midnight, Anderson.
Jeez, Brian. Look at you.
I know.
My
that's
goodness.
A big deal these days.
Brian had a little dinner party last night.
That's true.
A little din party.
Everything's pumpkin themed.
I figured ask me if I've ever been to a dinner party, and I couldn't wait to tell you, no, not really.
Have you really never?
I don't do dinner parties, Brian.
You should host a dinner party. You have a lovely home.
I don't want to. I mean, I've been to Thanksgiving and stuff, but like the idea of having people, like it's so adult and like, nah.
How old are you?
I'm old. I don't like to be old.
Anyway, it was a long day and I thought to myself, I can't have a bad night's sleep and feels to the rescue, buddy. Feels not works. Only gets me to fall asleep like very smoothly and easily, most importantly, helps me stay asleep.
Yeah.
It'll help you with your sleep issue. I can't guarantee. I can tell you it'll help you with my sleep issues. Continues to this day.
It just calms, not just your mind. It calms your whole body. Mm. It just calms just everything down. It is. It is a ha. It is exactly that, Brian. Well put with your ha.
Timely ha. Guys, you can start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/TFV and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/TFV to become a member today. Get 50% automatically taken off your first order with the free shipping. That's feels.com/TFV. Coming back to you with a film assigned to us on air just a couple of weeks ago from Florence Brummer, the great Florence Brummer. She was shocked that we had never seen Jennifer's Body. Mm. She was really flabbergasted.
She was upset. Mm. Yeah, it was like it fucked with her sensibilities.
Mm. 2009 film, Jennifer's Body. So she assigned it to us. Anderson very politely ceded his assignment that week from Winnie Gambling to the great Florence. And she assigned us Jennifer's Body, 2009 film directed by Karen Kusama, written by Diablo Cody, starring Megan Fox as the titular Jennifer. Although I would argue this is one of those rare films where the title character is not the main character. Really, it's Amanda Seyfried's story. She is the co-star, Johnny Simmons, J.K. Simmons, the unrelated J.K. Simmons, Adam Brody, Amy Sedaris, and Chris Pratt.
Kyle Gallner.
Oh, I didn't write that down.
Kyle.
Okay.
Dinner in America.
That's true.
All right.
Who was he?
He was the goth kid.
Oh, in the band?
No. He was the goth kid, like the 90s kid with the chain and the black fingernail polish.
Yes. 45% Rotten Tomatoes. Semi-surprising. You can stream this on Prime Video. Anderson, I found this to be an enjoyable watch. I watched it cold, as it were, didn't know much about it, aside from it starred Megan Fox and Amanda Seyfried, and it was kind of a horror-ish movie. Didn't know the score, didn't know much about it, and as I'm watching it, I did not find it to be a perfect film, but I found it to be an enjoyable film. It kind of went down smooth, as you say, knowing the genre. I think I saw it just for Halloween, and surprised to learn it sits at a rotten 45%.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Did I know that?
I did not.
I mean, that's not fair. This movie does exactly what it set out to do.
Yes, and I think I told the story on this show, which is we're doing the Rotten Tomatoes game on the old Adam Carolla show there.
Thieving.
The day I had seen this, and Jennifer's body comes up, and I'm like, I just fucking saw this movie 2 hours ago.
Right.
And
the universe
guess,
trying to tell you that you should get a Jennifer body's poster.
I think
your
I guess 60 right. something, 65, and I was off by about 20 points.
Yeah, I would guess like 67.
Yeah. Seems like while not a artfully made film, an enjoyable,
there's a lot
effective
of cleverness
film.
In it. Yeah. There's a lot of creativity. There's a lot of creative thoughts and ideas as
a
well.
A lot of Diablo Cody.
A lot of Diablo Cody.
Which
like
is
the,
both good and bad.
Hello Titty with the bartender is one of the things. Freaktarded.org. I didn't ever hear anyone ever say Freaktarded.org.
Diablo Cody's movies, for better or worse, and often worse, feel so written. And what I mean by that is like, punny, weird jokes forced in.
You know what,
quirkiness,
though?
Quirkiness that does not come up organically.
I feel, and I'm going to take some heat. Please don't write me. I know that what I'm saying is rubbing some people the wrong way, but this is it's true. I feel the same way about a lot of Tarantino stuff. Like it's just overwritten,
really?
And it's just a mouthful for the actors to get out. It's not. It doesn't flow. It's not like, especially some of his early.
You know what?
Pulp Fiction
as well. I'll agree with you in the sense that a lot of Tarantino's characters don't speak like normal humans.
Right.
So
now,
yeah, okay,
maybe what
that.
They're saying is a little bit more provocative or interesting than
that's
some
true.
Of the
that's
Diablo Coda stuff. But that said, there's still a lot of, I would say a lot of similar gripes that I have with the two of them. And
you can hear the typing as you're watching the film.
Almost.
Click, 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 click.
Some of it's good though. Like 3% of proceeds go to the victims was a funny little touch, you know, and all of the actual backdrop and the story and the, it takes place in Devil's Kettle where there's this sinkhole with a waterfall and the water goes down. And apparently it goes like to nowhere. No one knows where it goes, or maybe it's just really deep. Mm. Right. And the whole setup of the movie is she being Jennifer, played by Megan Fox over there. She's a bit of a trollop, I guess. She likes to live life to its fullest. She's in high school.
She's not concerned with conservative restraints.
Right. She wants to meet traveling bands that come through their little Devil's Kettle small town. And Adrian Brody, is that Adam Brody? I always get all those guys' names confused. But the Adam Brody one, who's fucking perfect in this.
He's great.
They're a band, and it's kind of that old story we were just talking about not too long ago, where you sell your soul for fame, right? It's that age-old story we saw with Phantom of the Paradise.
Satanists.
Yeah, sure. So they take her out, and they want to, you know, they lure her into their van, and they want to sacrifice her to Satan. They were looking for a virgin, and they got her, and they wanted to sacrifice her to
the old devil
reach new heights as musicians. And some things go awry and some things are unexplained. We won't give them away here, but she comes back and she is like a demon and she cannot be killed. She
must
self-heals.
Feast on human blood.
She becomes like a vampire of sorts, zombie type creature thing. And there's a lot of fun and blood and guts and...
less zombie, more, like you said, what'd you say?
Vampire.
No. Comes back as a demon.
I think that's even alluded to. But there is some really, really good direction in here as well. Like the crosscut sex scene was inspired.
There's some really good stuff in here.
The set pieces at the end, by the time it's over, like the set pieces were impressive. Mm-hmm. And it was overall, like you said, it goes down smooth. It's fun. It's not the kind of movie that I'm going to be like, oh, you guys, you have to see this. Unless you are that person that would love this movie, chances are you've already discovered it.
Mm.
Right?
True. I don't think, there's us, and I imagine a percentage of our audience probably had no idea about this movie. I mean, heard of it, of course. Amanda Seyfried is always good, and she was good in this. I loved her in Mean Girls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Megan Fox, pretty good in this.
Mm.
I never looked at her as a fine thespian, but she was exactly what this movie needed.
I wonder if Florence kind of relates to her. And when watching this, I couldn't help but think of Florence as I was watching it, because she's so like high on this movie and loves it so much, and she just loves, like, we heard some of the Diablo Cody writings from Florence herself about the sitting on peas,
sitting on frozen peas.
She couldn't go to Flags because of that. Florence lives that lifestyle. I'm not suggesting that. I wonder if she was kind of like, relating or liking this character, you know, like people do when a lot of men go and watch James Bond movies and they walk out feeling taller.
Some do. Some do.
But it's she kind of like,
what is Flags?
Flags is like, I think it's like a step down from cheerleaders.
Oh.
Like if you can't make the cheerleading squad.
You're on the spirit squad.
Yeah, you go and you just wave flags around and stuff. I think.
Okay.
Which doesn't make sense because she would be like the queen of all cheerleaders.
That's a good point. She'd be very good. Maybe she didn't put in the work.
Yeah, that could be it. I think I said it last week where she plays a plastic too, to an extent, but she's ravishing. And I think I alluded to it last week that she was, you know, they're trying to ugly her up because part of the storyline is that, you know, if she doesn't eat human flesh,
yeah, she likes sort of wasting away.
But I mean, even when they were trying to ugly her up, like, we could still see the. The radiant Megan Fox.
Oh, she's a super hot actress.
In her prime. But also, like, you know, Megan Fox, I kept thinking about her and what's his name? Machine Gun Kelly, and kept imagining him like fantasizing this movie as a young boy. It was weird. But yeah, I liked it more than I should have. It's no Spontaneous. It's not even Love and Monsters.
Oh, really?
I think Love and Monsters, well, different movies, I guess. But it's no Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead really hit me in a special spot. But it's of the same ilk.
Sorry to interrupt, but you mentioned the score of the last film, the musical score. And one of the few notes I have for this movie is, God, that was a terrible era for music. There's just so many bad music.
This is
drops.
A personal...
No, it was just terrible.
No, people liked it, right?
No. At the time, they might have.
Yeah, for sure.
I think looking back, it's kind of what was I thinking?
Oh, are you talking about like the it felt very K-Rock.
Yes, it did. Yeah. There was a lot of very, what would be now douche chills, like for the...
it's like alternative, it was called alternative rock was the term. I guess alternative rock, people still know it, but I mean, it was kind of a joke because it wasn't alternative. It was
mainstream.
Yeah.
Oh, someone, by the way, I think posted to our Reddit, perhaps. They said, what exactly are douche chills?
Yeah, I've heard Bill Burr. I think he was the one that brought it. I first heard anyone say, I don't know if he probably got it from one of his buddies. But douche chills is just, it's cringe. It's like another way of saying cringe. Yeah. It's where you like are so uncomfortable, you get like chills because of something you're looking. Like when I heard freaktarded.org, I was douche chilling.
Make your noise. Make your noise.
I mean, it's got to be organic, Brian. I can't just do it on command.
Freaktarded.org.
See, that was it, man. That happened right there. That was real.
There it is.
But no, I like this one. I didn't like it as much as the ones that I just mentioned that I feel like Spontaneous is just so fucking, and I know that Florence absolutely loves Spontaneous as well. Like I think her comment was like, I never expected to be crying at the end of this stupid horror film, but you do. You get choked up, Bri.
We're not talking about Jennifer's Body now?
I think we're done talking about Jennifer's Body, which...
J.K. Simmons the one where I was like, why does he need to have...
A fake hand?
And the frizzy wig?
Yeah.
None of that made sense?
It's just a quirky character, right? It's just a...
That's kind of what I'm talking about. The unnecessary quirk.
Unnecessarily quirked. Yeah, I get it. I agree.
I wanted him unquirked.
You wanted him... Just a straight up J.K. Simmons would have worked there, right? It didn't really lend to anything else going on other than like... Maybe he was based on somebody Diablo Cody actually dealt with like in her high school. And it was kind of, you know, she wrote it because she knew it.
With enough weird stuff going on in your movie, i.e. you're not living in the world we're living in. You don't need, every character doesn't need to be weird. Every character doesn't need to have some quirk. Like J.K. Simmons could have played it straight.
That's what I just finished saying.
I know.
And then I came up with a theory that maybe Diablo Cody actually had a one-handed hook-laden professor teacher in her high school who had that haircut, perhaps, and pushed punch on children at the dance.
You almost saw a hooked friend of yours.
That's a weird story, which I will be recounting everyone who listens to the After Disaster about. It's very rare that you see what you think is a double amputee man of a certain rotund shape. Similar hairstyle and
color,
same exact name and age, and
there's too many coincidences.
And not being him, it is bizarre.
My mind's still kind of blown from that.
It is blowing, right? It's gonna haunt me forever, Brian, because I could have got to the bottom of it. I think maybe, and I didn't. I passed because I didn't want to interact again, because I hate interacting with strangers.
Please tell the story.
I will tell it.
Please set up the story by telling the story of Wee Man.
I told that story too many times.
So fun.
It's a good story, right? But I've gone back to the well too many times. You like people going back to the well. That's why you work over there at Cola.
That's right. It's comforting.
It's one of the greatest stories ever.
Which is what?
The Wee Man story.
Oh, I see.
With my boy Amaya.
What was it again?
I'm not telling it. I don't do stories on demand. Hey, let's get out of here. Hey, you see the trailer for Machine? Yeah. Kreischer.
Yeah, excited about that.
Speaking of telling stories over and over, that guy was on Loveline three times. I think he told the entire story its entirety three times, but that's not his fault. That's because Dr. Drew loved to hear things over and over. Drew's like your small child, your idiot 5-year-old who wants to watch the same fucking movie over and over again. That's Dr. Drew.
I know that 5-year-old.
Please tell the story again. Please tell it again. Well, Drew, we just finished hearing it.
Papa. Can you tell the story again?
May I hear it again, Papa?
Oh, I got to do the listener. Oh, no, that's top five.
We got to rock it. We got to roll it. We got to get out of here.
Can you play a long song so we go over an hour?
No, we're getting over an hour for sure.
Nice.
Yeah. How do you like them apps?
I love it.
So hey, talk to me. Talk us out of here, Barbara.
Thanks, guys, for listening. And,
here, before I even start the song, I should say this. Me, this guy right here talking in this microphone, have seen Barbarian.
Oh.
And I will be bringing Barbarian to the program in the next 2 to 3 weeks. I don't think there's any massive rush on it, just because it's been out for a little while. But you don't have to send me emails to watch it anymore. I don't think there's been a movie in the last 5 years that I've gotten this many emails to watch a movie.
What percentage of your decision to watch it was you're curious and interested versus please make the email stop?
50-50. Okay. No, it was probably like 90% curious, like what could be about this movie. And it is not what meets the eye. It's not what you're expecting, but that's what it all hinges on. So the less you know, the better.
Okay.
Just like I edited that one of the fanflictions earlier because I didn't want people to know that one dude is in the movie. And the movie takes a turn. Even that might be knowing too much, but all I can tell you this is there's a bed, a camera, and a bucket.
All right.
There's a bed.
That's the start of many good stories.
A camera. And a bucket. And I can tell you this, I continue to be, I guess, smitten with Skarsgård. Billy Skarsgård over there.
Oh, it.
You know, I am a fan of that guy, right? Not as Pennywise. Like, when he is not being Pennywise, he's got a lot to offer.
What did we just see him in? The forehand?
Villains.
That's it.
We saw him in Villains, which he was fantastic in. And he was great in this one as well. He's in Barbarian. She's great as well. I liked the first half of Barbarian. 2/3 of Barbarian, more than, we'll talk about it at some point. I just don't leap well.
You get to assign me a movie this week.
You know those movies that make you leap, Brian? Like they ask the audience to take a leap with them. Mm. I don't do that well. I have a hard time.
Well, Jennifer's body did that.
I mean, if I was better at leaping, I probably would have loved Jenny's body. Can we call it Jenny's body?
Jen's bod.
Jen's bod.
All right, thanks.
Another thing with Jennifer's body is I felt like it was just like straight up exploitation. I'm like, I can't accept this because it's like because she was the it girl, right?
She was very popular.
She was the it girl all the time, and everyone loved her as a sex symbol. Mm-hmm. And then they came out with this movie where it's just like all marketed around her sex body.
It really was. It was almost stunt casting in a way.
Yeah, so like, that's why I dismissed it.
Who can play the sexy girl? The sexy girl of the moment.
Came up in a fanfiction like a week or two ago that somebody watched it and they dismissed it when it came out. And I feel the exact same way. If this was a movie, if Jennifer's body was just like was coming on HBO and I was too like tired to grab the remote, I'd probably be like, holy shit, this is great. Why did I watch this? It was just a little bit too high.
I'm with you.
It's a 3-star movie.
3-star.
Yeah.
Right down the middle.
Sorry, Florence, I didn't love it.
No, it was above average. 3 stars. Thank you, Andrew Barton, for assigning us Ikaru. Thank you, Florence Brummer, for assigning us Jennifer's Body. Thank you, me, for assigning us Al Yankovic's story, Weird. check us out, AndersonandBryan.com.
I am excited to talk to you about Weird. I think you're going to be tickled with Weird.
Do they play lasagna?
Lasagna doesn't make the cut, I don't think. But I can't imagine how much you're going to enjoy being a Weird Al Yankovic. I'm not a fan, and I loved it.
Oh, my God, he did. One of the most important figures in my youth. My dad.
I'm actually watching UHF UHF later this month for Cinematics, which I've never seen before. So I'll be watching that. It's a Weird Al month for me.
I've never seen that actually.
It's funny because I love parody music and bullshit music. And my two favorite songs this year, or three favorite songs: Watermelon Song from Dinner in America, the Corn Kid song, and now this Pump Iron song that Tyler turned me on to from the 80s.
That's right, I heard that.
Pump Iron. Those are my three favorite songs this year, by far and away. But I never really.
You love novelty. You love novelty songs.
Weird Al, like his look, just turned me off.
Dead Cat Hat is our featured artist this week. They're over at AndersonandBryan.com. For more info on them, there is a Amazon banner that sits atop there. If you're planning maybe some Black Friday or Cyber Tuesday, Monday, what the fuck? No, Giving Tuesday, Cyber Monday. Any of that, maybe consider us for the Amazon banner. That would help us out a lot. Instagram, Anderson and Brian. Facebook, Twitter, The Film Vaults, and YouTube, where you can watch us now. the Film Vault Podcast over on YouTube. Thank you, all of our Patreon listeners. We appreciate you guys subscribing to the show for the extra content. Giovanni, Jordan Wolf, Jordan Montgomery, Mitch Burns, and Mike Cole, appreciate you all making the show go. Eddie's Antiques over there on the old Facebook Marketplace. Help Mike Anderson hole for the year. And Invade the Decade will not be mentioned by me. Because fuck Avery.
Very good, Brandon.
That's right. And until next time.
We do it for Van Gogh. Still I walk into your crowd.